Welcome back to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen along with you. You know, some of Syracuse's busiest orthopedic surgeons have recently returned from a medical mission of mercy to Nepal, one of the world's poorest countries. And one of those individuals is here with us this morning to tell us all about it. Dr. Timothy Damron is a professor of orthopedic surgery, as well as a professor of cell and developmental biology and neuroscience and physiology with Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Damron. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
So it looks like you wear a lot of hats at Upstate, but on this particular mission, you were functioning as an orthopedic surgeon. You went to Nepal. Tell us about that. Why did you go?
So I went as a group, or part of a group, that is working on a program called Operation Walk. It's a nationwide program, and it was started by a gentleman named Larry Doar. He's an orthopedic surgeon at UCLA, and he started this program about 15 years ago. The primary purpose of the program is to provide total joint replacements, primarily knees and hips, to people in areas that are underserved. And it initially started as just a visitation program to different countries. It's now evolved into actually Operation Walk USA, where they're also helping patients here in the United States. But the group here was started, the site here was started by Brett and Seth Grinke. Also orthopedic surgeons here in town, and they actually pursued getting involved in the Boston group, but there's a long wait list for the Boston group, and it was suggested that they start their own team. So they did, and along with Kim Murray, who's the executive director, they started this site, and they asked me to get involved, and I was very lucky to be involved with a group of about 30 people that are, you know, everybody from the people that prepare and clean the equipment, the representatives from the company, the nurses from the recovery room, the nurses from the operating room, the technicians, nurses on the floor, physical therapists, everybody. We had, you know, 30 people from our group. And then we were joined by a group of about 10 people that had done it before to help us.
From other centers. How many centers exist within the country?
There are 13 centers right now, I think, or thereabouts.
So this is an extraordinary enterprise to bring that many people over. And all of the equipment, you had thousands or hundreds of pounds of equipment and all the things that you needed to. Basically, you took a field hospital with you. Is that correct?
That's pretty much correct, yep. There were people that were basically spending their spare time collecting all this equipment and storing in a storage facility and inventorying it and taking donations and both equipment and money as well to raise the funds to travel there. And all this equipment was stored and then packaged and then met up with a shipment from UCLA, which is where they have a warehouse for all of the total joint equipment. And then that was shipped to Nepal in advance of our trip. And it was a huge undertaking.
So all of this stuff was donated, is that correct?
All of the equipment was donated except for the, well, I guess including the total joint equipment, which is donated directly from the implant company, which is Zimmer for this trip.
Wow. And all of the people involved were volunteering their time.
That's absolutely right. There was no reimbursement for this. We basically, the Grinkies and Kim Murray were in charge of raising the money, and to their credit, they were able to raise enough money to send all of us there. And then basically it was just taking our time to go there. And it's given me a new respect for people that that do this anytime, and particularly people that do it on a regular basis. And there's lots of mission groups that do this here in our institution and in others in the community. And my hat goes off to them for being able to do this.
Yeah, I might add that Dr. Seth and Brett Grinke are the orthopedic surgeons you mentioned, were also alumna of Syracuse, of Upstate Medical University, and their teaching faculty here as well, I understand.
That's correct.
So so they called you up and they said, hey, you want to go to Nepal? Was it just about like that?
Yeah, Brett called and said, here's an opportunity to go close to Mount Everest, and I jumped on the chance, and I was fortunate to be able to go with my wife, who's a nurse in the Center for Children's Surgery.
Oh, that's handy.
And she served a role as an operating room nurse, so she filled that spot. And so it was a great trip for us, and she'd always wanted to do something like this. I'd always wanted to do something like this, but never really had the opportunity. So it was a great opportunity, and we both embraced it and headed out, got ready and went.
So what was it like when you got there? I mean, what was the experience like? What did you do?
Well, it was culture shock. It's a long ways there, as it turns out. We took a flight from JFK to Hong Kong, which is about a 16 or 17 hour flight. And then we had a little bit of a layover and then flew from there through Bangladesh to Kathmandu, which is another 6 or 7 hours. And we arrived late at night. We took a bus back to the hotel, and then we had a couple of days free. But the second day we were there, we had an organization meeting. And then the next day, we basically screened all the patients. So Seth had actually been out there in June, and they had sort of an application process to get patients that were that would qualify for this. And they sort of screened them at that point. And they came up with around 50 patients they thought were good candidates. That, you know, which is in the range of the numbers that we thought we could do. And it would have been, you know, around 50 patients with over 100 total joints, because many of them were bilateral total knees.
That's incredible. May I just ask how long you were there? I mean, how
total,
were you?
The trip was 10 days, but that included the travel time.
So you were going to be doing all of those surgeries in that short amount of time?
That was the plan, yeah. When we got there and did the screening, only about 30 or so patients were there for the screening process. And it's not clear exactly, you know, why the rest of those patients dropped out. And some of the patients that were there weren't actually even in the screening process. But for whatever reason, we ended up with 30-some patients. And we screened those on the first morning. And then in the afternoon, we had a conference and went over those patients just to make sure that they medically were good for surgery and that orthopedically they had good indications. Went over their x-rays, presented them in a conference. So all agreed as a team that we would do them, and then that afternoon we started doing the replacements.
Wow.
So the first afternoon we did just 4 single total knees. So each of the 4 main surgeons that were there did a knee replacement just to go through the system, get everything in working order, and make sure that things were operating efficiently. The second and third and fourth days we operated basically the whole time, and we did 4 rooms each of the first 2 days and 3 rooms the last day. Each room did 2 or 3 cases, and most of them, again, were bilateral total knees.
Wow.
So we did on the order of about 20 cases a day and ended up doing about 60 joint replacements in somewhat over 30 patients.
That's amazing. That really is. So you had to set up your own facility, though? I mean, did you kind of walk into what was an already existing setup, and then you just brought all your own equipment?
Yeah, that's a very good question. When we first started out, I had no idea what exactly it was going to be like, but it is a teaching hospital. It's a teaching hospital in Kathmandu. It's the Nepal Teaching Hospital, and if I'm not incorrect, I believe that teaching hospital was started by a gentleman who actually was a resident here in internal medicine, and he's really been successful at bringing people in from other places. They do have an orthopedic department in this hospital, and it's a very small department. It's only 3 or 4 orthopedic surgeon attendings, and they have 3 residents. But they do have, you know, an operating room of sorts. They do mostly trauma from an orthopedic standpoint, but they just don't have the resources to do total joint replacements or the training. So we walked into a facility that was set up somewhat for orthopedics, but not specifically for total joints.
So you had to refashion it in whatever way to make it work for you.
Well, we set up rooms for the storage of the equipment and designated which operating rooms we would have. They had to keep one open for emergencies. And it was all, I mean, logistically it was a bit of a struggle, but the people that planned it out did a very nice job, and everything went unbelievably smoothly. And I think a lot of that, you know, is just due to the fact that everybody that went was willing to do whatever they needed to do, whether it be, you know, help move boxes, help pick cases, help sweep the floors, do everything they need to do. So it was just great to see everybody from, you know, from top to bottom just helping out and pitching in.
How did the orthopedic surgeons that were in Nepal feel about you guys just kind of, you know, the cowboys coming in, the cavalry coming in to save the day?
Well, this is not the first time that they've had experience with Operation Walk. The first trip, I believe, was in 2000, and then the second in 2004, and then one last year. So we were actually the 4th visitors there. So they're pretty well established with this program, and I think that you know, they welcome it with open arms. I think that they ultimately would like to be able to do their own total joints. And part of our mission was a symposium that we gave for them in terms of educating them about perioperative care, selection of the patients, the procedures themselves. And so that is part of the education process. Certainly, you can't teach someone to do a total joint replacement well in 3.5 days in the operating room. And they did observe. They did scrub in sometimes. But the intent of the program was not to provide them with enough expertise to do joint replacements. Maybe over time, if they are willing to do fellowships and that sort of thing, they'll be able to establish their own program. We hope they will.
Was there any resistance from the government, or again, were you welcome with open arms?
Well, I don't know the details of the politics there. I wasn't really involved at that level. I believe there has been some transition in their government. We were able to get our shipment in without any difficulty, and that was a concern. There seemed to be a lot of credentialing that, and analysis of that credentialing that went on. We had submitted all kinds of paperwork in advance, hoping that that would take care of it, along with our passports and our visas. We had to do it again when we first arrived, and then I was informed in the middle of my second case on the second day that there were five of us that needed to go to the Ministry of Health for further review.
Yet another screening.
Yes, for further review of our credentialing. Yeah. And that made me a little bit nervous, but we were able to sneak in another case, and then they whisked us off in a van to go to the Ministry of Health. And we had a bit of a cowboy driver that was very aggressive, even for Nepal, which has no stoplights or stop signs.
Oh, my God. You were, like, hanging on by your fingernails.
We joked that it was like a scene from Midnight Express.
Yeah.
But we were whisked on down to the Ministry of Health, and we sat in a big boardroom, and a couple of people there reviewed our credentials, and you know, we had to explain what we were doing. But they were receptive, and we didn't really have any problems, so we were able to get back and finish the day.
Unbelievable. It's just an amazing thing that you did, accomplishment that you did to offer this. I have a question about the rehab. I mean, when you basically do a bilateral knee on an older person, were there services in place to help them? I mean, you know, you were there for 10 days and then your whole team leaves. What happens to these people?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Again, that was a concern I had when I first got involved with this, is what are we doing for those patients afterwards? But again, they have a hospital established there. They have an orthopedic department, so they're used to having patients that need some rehabilitation. Of course, the rehabilitation for total joints is different, and so they needed some training. But as a part of our team, we brought physical therapists along, and we helped to train their physical therapists, their nurses, and more importantly, really, in their culture, to train the families, because the families do a lot of the care afterwards there. And so they, you know, with the help of our physical therapists and educating them, I think that we can feel very comfortable that they're doing very well. And we still get feedback from their orthopedic residents in particular, who are very savvy with the internet. And as far as I've heard recently, we just had a meeting a couple of days ago, the patients are all doing very well.
That's great. Well, in the little bit of time we have left, tell us from a personal standpoint, what was it like for you to be in Nepal? I mean, there's a lot of natural beauty, but there's also a lot of poverty. So what did it feel like?
I tell you, it was one of the best things I've ever done. It was just an amazing, fantastic experience. It was like going someplace that you never dreamed you'd have the opportunity to go, like being almost on a different planet. It's that much different. Of course, I've never had any exposure to that part of the globe, and so it was my first time. But it was just an amazing experience. It was a bit of a culture shock, and it is a very beautiful country. And we had an opportunity, my wife and I, to go out to Nagarkot, which is a small, relatively small mountain outside Kathmandu, and view the Himalayas on a beautiful day. And some of the team members took a Himalaya flight to see the Himalayas as well. But the poverty is a concern, and certainly my heart goes out to those people.
Do you think you'll go back?
Absolutely, I'd love to go back.
Well, Dr. Timothy Dameron, Professor of Orthopedic Surgery at Upstate Medical University, this is an incredibly inspiring story. Thanks so much for coming in and sharing it with us today.
You're very welcome.
Stay with us. There's more ahead after a short break. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is Upstate's HealthLink on Air.